Today our scripture reading is taken from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 18. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Elijah flees to Horeb. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated.
Let us pray. Father God, make your presence known to us now. Speak you through your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the 40 days of Lent season, Pastor Callum planned to take us through the Bible and explore the stories of those who had experienced 40 days period and learned from them. In this passage you just heard, we are looking at the great prophet Elijah. Are you disappointed Or have you ever been disappointed at God? Are you wondering what God is doing, especially when something did not turn out quite what you expected? Did your faith journey come to a stop because you did not get what God was doing? Or even worse, you have no hope for the future like Elijah. If you are or have been in one of those situations I mentioned, what do you or did you do to go through such time? Today we are learning from the story of the great prophet Elijah's experience in situations like disappointment, depression, and the feeling of alone, or loneliness, perhaps even abandonment. More importantly, we are going to look at how God responded to Elijah in such a situation. Elijah was exhausted after the confrontation with 450 prophets of Baal, and all of them were killed. He had just seen God accomplish a great miracle at his hand and sparked a revival among the people. Yet Elijah felt alone and fearing for his life because Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, the king of Israel, was trying to kill him. He prayed to God that he might die. In chapter 18, verse 22 tells us that Elijah thought Jezebel had killed all the prophets of the Lord, and he was the only one left. After an extreme high, defeating 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah dropped to extreme low, which drained his energy, twisted his reality, and he lost all hope. In fact, he was running for his life, exhausted, alone, lost the will to live, all because of his twisted reality. Drained energy, twisted reality, and having no hope sounds like depression, isn't it? But we're not going to focus on Elijah, but on God and see what God did to Elijah. First, God nurtured Elijah's physical health. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Then he came to a cave where he spent the night. God knows the priority of nursing us back to physical, emotional, and spiritual health. If a person is in poor physical condition, it is not the time to confront the person with anything. Rest and nutrition are important to bring us back to health. Elijah was very special. He was fed by a raven and a widow, remember? And now God himself as an angel fed him. The king of the universe loves us so much that he will care for us individually. Not only physical health, God cares about our emotional health as well. It took Elijah 40 days and 40 nights to travel from the wilderness around Beersheba to Mount Sinai. The distance was about 422 kilometers. Well, give you some perspective. The distance between Vancouver and Kelowna is 386 kilometers. My daughter gave me a Fitbit for last year's Christmas gift. I started walking every day. I walk about 15,000 steps a day now. It is about 10 kilometers. It takes me about 1.5 hours to walk the 15,000 steps. Walking alone helps me to spend alone time with God, talking and listening to him. But I cannot imagine walking 40 days and 40 nights alone. After 40 days of walking, Elijah rested in a cave for a night. Mount Sinai is a safe and special place for Elijah. It was a mountain where Moses met with God and got the tablets of the Ten Commandments. It was out of the territory of Elijah's enemy, at least he thought. Elijah had 40 days of quiet time and rested. Then God approached Elijah. Notice that it was God who approached Elijah at the right time for Elijah. The Lord said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The reality of Elijah believed in remained false. If we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah met Obadiah, who oversaw the palace of King Ahab. Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. When Jezebel tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in two caves. Obadiah said to Elijah, though, he told Elijah, "Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my Lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophet? I hid 100 of them in two caves and supplied them with food and water." This was just before Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal. After 40 days and 40 nights of quiet time, Elijah still did not remember what Obadiah had said to him. He was not the only prophet of the Lord left. But God was patient with Elijah. Without condemnation or confrontation, the Lord told Elijah, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing, Elijah?" A gentle whisper, a still small voice. Did you feel the contrast here? The windstorm, the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in any of those. But a gentle whisper, a still small voice. God is love, and he is gentle, even though Elijah was still lived in a distorted reality. Elijah gave the exact answer to God as if God did not hear it the first time. Frankly, for those who are parents, how many of you would have lost it by now? If it were your kids, I would have, but not God. God instructed Elijah what to do and disclosed his plan to him. And God continued to say, "Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." God never gives up on us, even when we mess up. Do you think Elijah was alone during his 40 days and 40 nights travel? God was with Elijah the whole time, feeding him, guiding him to a safe place, and revealed himself to him, not to condemn, but to bring Elijah back to reality and to disclose his plan and asking Elijah to join in. From this story, we can see how God cares for his children. Our God is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We are assured that God still cares and loves us the way he did to Elijah. As children of God, what can we do to help us to avoid extreme low? I use three words to help myself, and hopefully it will help you as well. The three R's. Remember, remind, renew. So what do they mean? Remembering what God has done in the past. Reminding ourselves God is present today and God is still at work, which brings renewed hope for the future that God is in control and He loves us. To gain perspective of today and direction for tomorrow, we need to remember. The biblical meaning of remember does not just remember the past event, but to bring the past event to the present to remind us that our God is the living God and He is still actively working today. In doing so, we remind ourselves of God's presence in our midst. Later in the service, we're going to have communion, the Lord's table. It is one of the ordinances that serves the exact purpose what I just explained. Jesus died for our sins so that we could have eternal life in Him. He rose from the dead, telling us that He has conquered death, and so that those who believe in Him will have eternal life. When we observe the communion, we are bringing the past event that Jesus did with His disciples to the present. Not just remembering what Jesus has done in the past, but to remind us of the presence of Jesus Christ among us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus indeed is at the table with us. He is always with us. We need to take time to create space in our heart to encounter Christ by spending quiet time alone with Him. Listen to His still small voice. We need to refocus our reality in Christ and seek His guidance for the future. Moreover, our hope in Christ is renewed through the participation at the table that Jesus one day will drink it new with us in our Father's kingdom. Christ will come again. With the hope in Christ, we can face today's challenges with strength, hope, and joy. The great American civil rights leader, Martin Luther King, was a person with tremendous courage. He endured abuse, beatings, imprisonment, death threats. His house was firebombed, and as we all know, he eventually was assassinated. So what kept him going? It was his strong sense of God's calling upon his life, and also he met the risen Christ. King was just 26 years old when he was appointed a leader of the civil rights campaign in Montgomery, Alabama. Apart from terrifying threats from the Ku Klux Klan, King was harassed by police, arrested for driving 5 miles per hour over the speed limit. He was given his first sentence in jail. The night after his release, he was at home when the phone rang. "Nigger," said a threatening voice on the other end, "we are tired of you and your mess now. And if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, we are going to blow your brains out and blow up your house." King was scared and very afraid for himself, for his wife, and for his little children. Shortly after the phone call, he sat at his kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee. "And I sat at the table," he said, "thinking about the little girl and thinking about a little girl about the fact that she could be taken away from me at any time. And I started thinking about the dedicated, devoted, and loyal wife who was over there asleep. And I got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I was weak, and I discovered then that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I would never forget it. I said, 'Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I am right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I am weak now. I am faltering. I am losing my courage. And it seemed to me that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. I heard the voice of Jesus saying still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. 3 nights later, the threat made in the phone call came true. A bomb exploded the front veranda of the King home. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but King was able to get through it. My religion experience a few nights before had given me the strength to face it, King said. Time and again throughout his ministry, Martin Luther King returned to that experience to strengthen him as he faced terrible difficulties. Through the encounter with God, Elijah was back to his ministry. Through the encounter with Christ, Martin Luther King fought the rights for the black people. Today, you can experience the same. God will never forsake you. Jesus is always with us, no matter what. And let us listen to the following song to remind ourselves that we are never alone, and at the same time, prepare our hearts for communion. And the ushers can come forward now.
I'm alone, yet not alone. God's the light that will guide me home. With his love and tenderness, leading through the wilderness. And where steps are long.